And thanks, Jordan. Over to you, Champ.
Thank you, Papa. How are we all doing this morning? Are we good? Feeling fresh? Rick and Dulcie, you kind of add a little bit of pressure. Just a little bit. A little bit. Goodness me. It's a little bit scary. Yeah, I haven't grown height-wise, but I'm a little bit. I'm almost as big as AJ. Nearly. Hopefully. One day. Well, it's 2013. It's an interesting feeling year. Who likes the feel of it so far? Feeling all right? Feeling good? That's good. That's good. How good was Graham Vert last week? Is Graham... You get the Jordan Ricardo two thumbs up. That was so good. It was good. And then we got Shane next week, this theological wisdomous mastermind. I feel like I'm this piece of lettuce between these two, like, two great, amazing people. And then we've got a new service, February 8th. I'm a little bit excited about that. We're planning hard. We've got this thing down pat. It's going to be good. It's going to be real good. So I thought this morning I would continue with something Graham touched on last week. And I'm going to throw in a little bit of Jordan love. So we're going to get a little bit deep and meaningful, and because that's just how I am. And I thought that would be cool. Is that okay? I know it's the start of the year. You probably want something like fresh and fruity and just all summery. But I figure, hey, if God says, Jordan, I want this, then I'm going to preach on it. That's going to be good. Yeah? Sweet. All right, so to introduce things this morning, let's jump into Ecclesiastes 3, NIV for anyone that has their actual paper Bible. Otherwise, Jesse, NIV. So I'm just doing the first verse, basically, just so you guys get a bit of a taste for what I'm going for. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A season for everything, a time for everything. And this thing that Graham touched on last week was these New Year's resolutions that we get on. And basically, just because it's a new year doesn't mean that everything gets to start new. Not everything gets to start fresh. Your bank, they don't give you a fresh start just because it's a new year. I don't know, I don't have a mortgage, but I see people, they don't just get, yeah, we're going to wipe the slate clean, you can start again, all your debt, all your interest. It'd be good, because I own a house. No, I don't. But that would be good. Anyway, so that's what I'm going to touch on, that's what I'm going to start with. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into it. It'll be good. Lord, I thank you for this morning, Father. I just pray that these words that I would be speaking would be yours. They wouldn't be my own, Lord. I just pray that what I've got to tell this morning is just what you want, and you'll speak to people through it, and each person will hear what they need to hear, and it's going to change their lives the way you want to change their lives. And I pray that the power doesn't go out. Amen. Because I don't have the voice to just, for anyone that hasn't been here the last 2 weeks, we lost the power. But we've got these like big booming voices that can handle it. But me, you're going to hear this like, it's going to be not good. It's just not going to be good. Anyway, so you may have found already in 2013 that things aren't completely different. Like, you know how you do the countdown, the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0 countdown for the end of the year, and you expect all these great weights to be lifted off you. Done that before? Anyone? Thank you. I have a hand. Come on, guys. Get a bit chirpy. Yeah, we've got hands. Yes. Yes. Awesome. Anyway, so this 2013 thing isn't a complete new start. There's actually seasons that run, and you may have been in a season for a long time, or you may be just starting a new one. It doesn't necessarily run to how the years run. So I'm glad 2012 is done and dusted. It had a few good moments, but it had some real, real sucky ones as well. And so this morning I have kind of a two-part message. Jesse, if you can throw up my first slide for me. Unfinished, part one. Yeah. So for those of you taking notes, unfinished is my part one. And that's when you start something, but you don't actually get to a point where you can finish. A new job, you go in all like, yeah, I'm going to do good at this job. I'm going to rock up early every day. I'm going to be real on time. I'm going to fill up the coffee pot. Whatever you do at your work. For those at uni at school, you guys will know what I'm talking about for this. You start the year at school and you're like, this year I'm going to take it seriously. Yeah? Yes. For those of us going into year 12 this year, going to take it seriously? Yeah? Eunice? Bram? Going to get serious this year? A little bit. Might lift my game just a notch. How good was Eunice this morning? I'm liking the hipster glasses. Thumbs. It was amazing. I could have just sat in that all day. It was good. And for those of you, the Docker supporters here, you start this year real passionate, real enthusiastic, this real zest for life. This year is our year. Every year is your year. And then halfway through, it goes to the dogs. Morabito's already done his knee. Oh, poor guy. Anyway, maybe they should bring back some club legends. If Shane's here. No, he's not. So, maybe even if you're reading your Bible, your like thing might be this year, you're going to get through your soap. I haven't got through it yet, but I'm believing in faith that I will. And so there's this confidence that when you start something new, there's like this fire inside of you, this burning passion, this hunger, this desire. And people may not understand. It's kind of like people will kind of just, Jordan, be realistic. Be realistic what you think you're going to do. Just don't go all hell's bells, go heavy, heavy, heavy. But then you have this like thing like, guys, you don't understand. God's on this. God's on this vision. God's on this thing that he's given me. I don't think you understand where God's put me right now. And we have this territory-taking attitude, and that is not a bad thing. That's how we need to start stuff. It could be something prophetic. So God may have given you a vision for what you're going to do this year. It could be something like a self-revelation, like you've been reading your Bible, and you're like, yeah, that's my thing for this year. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be church-related. It could be like this little goal that you have of actually rocking up to work 5 minutes early, not 5 minutes late. Yes, I'm preaching to me. Being a bigger team player at home, again, preaching to me. Doing more, doing whatever you want to do. We start with this big passion, this big zest. It's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. It's going to be real easy, real smooth. And for the first month, for the first 2 months, it might be ridiculously easy, and this fire might just keep pushing us on, pushing us on, pushing us on. We start with this big puff of energy and passion and all these big, exciting-sounding words, and nothing can stop us. These plans have been orchestrated by God, the King of Kings, Lord of the world. People don't understand what we've got inside of us. And that's great. Like I said, you need to start your year and your vision and your whatever it is you've got like that. But what happens when it doesn't just happen? It's not all smooth sailing. What happens when you hit a few roadblocks a few months in and it's just not going well? What do you do? It might be like 3 days in, you might hit the roadblock. It might be 2 months. It might be 2 years into your 5-year plan. You're not married. You've lost your job. Just things are not going well. I don't know. Do people do 5-year plans? Is that a thing? Yeah, that's a thing. Don't give me that weird look, everybody, like I'm crazy. And so we've got this, we get these visions, and we are so sold out on them. We buy the tickets, we go to the merch store, we buy the t-shirt, we buy the hat, we buy everything. We are completely and utterly sold out for this vision. And then we just kind of hit this, like, this little roadblock. These things we didn't plan for, because in our heads, we imagine this smooth sailing. I read a thing this week, side note. I read a thing that we spend 70% of our time in our head, like, creating perfect situations or, like, replaying, like, a perfect scenario. How interesting is that? That was for free. And so God won't ever just give you stuff. He doesn't just give you a vision for the sake of giving you a vision, then 2 months later, take it out from under you. Anything God gives you, he's going to get to a point where it's actually going to test you. It's going to stretch you. It's going to see what metal you're made of. And that disheartening feeling, it sucks. And it can be a number of factors of why all of a sudden you've been disheartened. It can be a lot of times people can think you're actually not doing enough. People can be like, Jordan, you need to pray more. Jordan, double your Bible reading. Sometimes that's not what it is. Sometimes you're just in a crappy season. And that happens. And sometimes it can be that stuff. You need to get crap out of your life. You need to read you need to read your Bible. But sometimes you can just be in an absolutely terrible season where it feels like God's just left you sitting and he's walked out the door. Maybe it has nothing to do with vision, because I've been talking about vision, but maybe it's just your actual relationship with God. Maybe your relationship just feels like you've been completely abandoned and you just can't, you know, you're trying to pray and there's just nothing there. You're trying to read your Bible and it's just words. You're trying to talk to people and they're just not getting where you're at. It's this whole, it's a frustrating thing, isn't it? You guys know what I'm talking about. Not on my own up here, thank goodness. And so we can get to this real, you know, the train pulls up in Struggletown, and all around, you just know that this is going to suck. This is going to really, really suck. And you're just calling out. You're like, God, come on, get me out of this place. I need you to just pull me. I need you to pull me out. And we're crying out to God. And it just feels like he's not there. And he's not listening. And there's this verse I want to read, and it's just, this over the years for me, even when I've been struggling, it may not do that much, but there are times when this thing just rescues me out of nowhere. Matthew 11:28. I've got the slide there, Jesse, if you can whack that thing up. Oh, you can't see it as clearly as I hoped. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. He says, come to me. Bring it all. And I think this is one of the real essential things that we actually need to understand, that when we're struggling, it's actually not the time to walk away. It might be the time to strip stuff back. But if we walk away, then we just give it all up. We throw it in, we throw in the towel, and we just can't do that. So you've got three choices when you hit a roadblock. Number one, you can go back. Number two, you can just be Mr. Stubborn, cross your arms, and sit where you're going to sit, and you're just going to deal with it. Because if you plant your feet in the ground, you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to still deal with the crap that you're dealing with. I'm not going to say crap, aren't I? Yeah, of course. No worries. Or option three is you can persevere and you can push through. And it's going to be tough. There's going to be times where you just feel like you're about to break. You're at breaking point. You'll be suffering when no one else is suffering. You'll be suffering and no one will see you suffering. It might be this private battle that you're going through. And when you're struggling and when you feel like you're all alone, self-doubt will rear its ugly head. And it'll just whisper in your head. That vision, you're imagining that. That thing that you thought God was talking to you about, why would he give that to you? Why would he show you that? Why? And so those questions, those things, they'll just, where's your God now? Isn't that always what we feel like when we're in just a crappy place? And it just feels like God's actually not, where the heck are you? And the strongest metals are forged in the hottest flames. Oh yeah. And so God will often test his best with flippin' sucky situations. Real sucky situations. And the reason that the strongest metals are forged with the hottest flames is because in that metal there's these impurities that need to be burnt off and gotten rid of. And God will do that. He'll strip those things right back so that you can actually go on to bigger and better things. And I just think that's good. I'm going to amen myself there. Amen, Jordan. And some of you may know that when I was younger, I was a bit of a fit guy. I played footy, beep tests all day, We just smash them out. It was good times. And I'm not lying. Let's be honest. I was muscly. I was looking good. I was like the peak of human aesthetics. This. And after I stopped playing football, I would occasionally, and by occasionally I mean never, go for a run. And so I finished footy. I didn't play after year 12. I had a year off. Year doing architecture, and I didn't really do anything. And then last year, my dad, who some of you know is a bit of a cyclist, invited me out. He was like, "Jordan, come with us guys. We do a ride around the river." You know, he goes on about it all the time. "Come join us. We're going to go for a ride around the river. You know, it's you, Sandy, Greg Moore, and Ian Bloyce was there as well." So that little, I don't know, is that still your crew? Yeah? It's their crew. Can you imagine these guys all like suited up, lycra, tight fitting? It's amazing. And and so Dad's noticed that I've kind of, not that I've pudged, right? But he's noticed that I haven't really done anything in quite a while. So he's, "Jordan, come on, come out for a ride with us." And so I'm thinking, like, you know, these old codgers, I'm going to show them a thing or two. These guys will not know what hit them. Jordan's just going to, not Lance Armstrong, but Cadell Evans, this thing. Just, you know, leave him in my dust. And so he's got, so we go on this ride. So I go out, we pick up Wesley and Bremmer on the way. Not pick them up because you're riding, you don't really dinky people. But because they live like over in Applecross. And so we ride and then they join in with us. And so we ride up to Perth City, we ride around South Perth. We stop and we have coffee. Coffee's good, eh? Isn't it, Sarah? Coffee's good. Coffee's... So we stop, we have coffee, and I'm thinking, you know, they're pushing me a little bit. But I'm doing all right. And so we get back on the bikes. We come, so we ride, kind of finish riding along South Perth foreshore, and then we get back onto the freeway stretch. And so we're riding, like, you know, like the Peloton? There's this group of us riding, like just sitting in slipstream. And they put it up a notch or two. And I realize I'm not as fit as I once was. And so I'm honestly stuffed. And for a millisecond, the millisecond I regret the most, I thought, I'm just going to drop back. I'm not going to be able to handle this. But I forgot about slipstream, right? So I'm sitting at the back, and I'm sitting in slipstream, and I'm pushing it. But then the second you drop out of the slipstream, this flippin' headwind just like... And I immediately regretted that decision. It was just, oh my goodness me. These guys have now left me for dead, and I'm riding, and it's just like, oh my gosh. God, save me. Lord, heal my legs. Just, I'm in a world of pain, and I'm seriously like at a point where I almost just like slowing down, sitting in gear one, and just taking 3 hours to get home. And then out of nowhere, this man comes riding up beside me, right? And he's like, "Steve, can you stand up for a sec?" Right? So see how big Steve is, right? This guy, turn and face that way. This guy is probably about this wide, this tall. He's got, you can sit down. He's got calves the size of my abdomen. This guy, no word of a lie, is huge. And he sees me. He comes up alongside me, kind of slows down at my trickle pace, and says, "Young fella, jump on." So he kind of, and then every, so I'm like, yes. And so I jump into this guy's slipstream, and it's like, it's just like I'm not even feeling air anymore. Like he's this huge dude, and I'm just sitting in behind just like, oh, this is a beautiful Sunday afternoon ride. And so this guy, and so he checks every like 30, 40 seconds, he turns around and checks to make sure I'm doing okay. And as I'm going, he's spurring me on. Come on, mate, just keep going, keep pushing, keep going. Go hard, keep going hard. This guy's amazing. And then, it was freaking so good. And so then I get to where I'm leaving, and I just say, thanks, mate. Cyclists are awesome. He's like, thanks, mate. And he turns around and he goes, mate, keep going. Keep pushing hard. All right? This guy, swear he was an angel or something. He was amazing. And so we start out with this vision, and we can be a little bit arrogant about it. We can think, you know what? I'm going to coast through this. I'll be all right. And we can hit these headwinds that we don't actually intend to see. And we get to a point where we're being smashed. We're being hit from every single angle. And we get to a point where we're ready to get off our bike and just flip and chuck it. But, then, from our calls and our crying out, God will come along like that bicycle rider. And he'll say, jump on, mate. Jump on. And he'll carry, he turns around, he checks on you every now and then. And he'll carry you in his arms. And so that day, I almost got there. Almost by myself. And I realized that I had these physical capacities. No, I was at my physical capacity. And I needed to actually enlarge a little. I needed to get a little bit better. A little bit bigger. And so, So you need to increase your capacity. And so when we hit these kind of shady spots in our walk with God, often it can actually be we need to lift. And I'm not saying you need to just do everything, but I'm just saying sometimes we actually need to increase. These times where everything's being broken down, it's a time for us to lift. And don't walk away just because a door's been closed on you. Sometimes a door will be closed because you're actually not big enough to get what's on the other side. And so you've got to go to the metaphorical gym. You've got to smash out, pump some iron, maybe get some like protein powder, maybe some creatine, Steve, so that you can come back and flip and rip the door off and you can actually get what's on the other side, what's been promised to you. And so when you know your potential, when you know what you're capable of, you actually know your destiny. You know where you can go, which can be a dangerous thing, because if you know your potential, you can just sometimes coast. Yes, I'm talking to myself again. Yes. And so sometimes when we're in this struggle, we need to get our foundations right. We need to actually, like I said before, strip everything back and just focus. We need to get our foundations. Something I learned in my year of architecture, shady foundations do not make good buildings. Promise you. Architecture 101. It was like day one. Do not have bad foundations. Anyway, so remember your first love. When you're in this position of struggle, even if you're... So I'm going to... This is a two-pronged thing for you guys. For those of you that are actually in a real good season right now, my recommendation is this. Write down stuff. Remember things so that when you actually get to a position where life's not great, you can actually come back to it and you can remember the good times. You can remember, hey, God spoke to me about that. Because if you've got something written down, you put it in front of you, you're not going to forget that. If you try and just remember on memory alone, you're going to, oh, did that really happen? Kind of skew the details in your head. No, that wasn't God's voice. That was just my imagination. But if you've got it written there, you know God spoke to you about that thing. Remember your first love. What is it about God that you love? What was the moment of your relationship with him that sold you, that caused you to buy in, to say, you know what, 100% I'm there, tick the box? What was that moment? Can you remember it? Can you remember that moment where you said, yeah, this is everything I want? Can you highlight in your mind an experience where God has actually moved and shaken everything that you thought you knew? honest with you. I have these things at home. I have this, I'm sure I've told you guys before, I have this note corkboard. It's not a note board. It's a corkboard where I write down like these notes. Or I've had people speak to me, or I've had prophecies, and I've got these things from Bible college where we actually wrote letters to each other. And I've got that thing sitting dead center on my corkboard, because that thing to me is like, when I get down, I read that. And it just refreshes and it revitalizes me. I've got letters from guys at school, not Christian guys, that we wrote each other in our last few weeks of year 12, where we actually wrote to each other things that we liked. And this might sound extraordinarily stupid, but when you've got a guy that you haven't spoken to for, like, not in a bad way, but just like different peer groups, if you've got a guy you haven't spoken to for like 3 years, and he writes you a letter about, you're actually always incredibly nice, you always speak, those things actually, they do stuff to you. Messages, I have messages on hand of people that have changed perspective. I remember being at Phenomena in 2004, and so how old was I? 8 years ago. 12. Is that right? Maybe it was 2005. Jürgen Matesius preached this message, and it just like, something changed completely. This prophecy from Fergus McIntyre, I've got that thing written in my room. I've got a prophecy from James Murray. I've got these things that I go to when things suck and they actually bring me back up. And so I want you guys to do that. Like, the things that actually does for you is ridiculous. So have those things on hand. When the going gets tough, remember why you're doing what you're doing. It's not, it may not, having those things that may not actually pull you out of a real crappy season, but it'll just kind of lift you a little. It'll just kind of add that little bit of fuel to the fire. That little bit to just keep on. Sometimes you're on the ground and you're flipping, just crawling, because that's all you can do. Sometimes it'll just help you just keep going. So many people in the Bible, I actually didn't realize there were that many, but they went through like real crappy seasons before they came up, and they came up to something good. You got David, who was in a season, not necessarily a crappy season, but a season of actually waiting before he could step up to take his vision. You have guys like Jonah, who didn't have a great time in a whale, but then they actually came back. Noah, building an ark, he looked like an absolute idiot. Like, idiot. And then it came through. His vision, I'm sure there were times he was doubting that vision. You built this big boat. Goodness me, goodness me. And then you've got Moses. We think about a one year, like a season of 1 year being long. 40 years in a desert. That's a long season. Real long. Peter denies Jesus 3 times. May not have been a season, but it was a moment where he dropped, and he would have been regretting what he did. And then we see him in Acts flip and get up and preach this message that just, I don't know if it was one of the best messages ever preached. Imagine that. Job, the man that lost everything, the man that was literally, like, he had nothing. Everything he had, he lost it. And it wasn't that he walked away from God. It wasn't that he did anything wrong. He just entered a season that completely and utterly sucked. Completely and utterly. And if there was ever a guy that you could actually probably justify walking away and just giving it up and throwing in the towel, it was him. And he didn't. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee. Job resisted. Got to a point where the devil ran, and he gets things back. Restored to Job twice what he had before. So this morning, I have two calls for you. May not be both for you, but two different calls for you guys. And I want to share with you real briefly. For me, I wasn't in a great, not all last year, but there was a time last year I was actually really struggling. And I felt like I just needed God to just change something in me. And we had Adrian Dunwell here last, when was he here? December, early December. And he gets up and he's doing this altar call. And he talks about changing the flag that's inside. Like, you need to take down the old, battered, dirty flag, and you want to put up something new and something fresh. And sometimes we can be in this position of struggling, but there's also like an element of pride. And that morning, I realized I couldn't do it. I couldn't struggle with this thing anymore. I had to come. I had to just, that verse 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And I flippin' ran up here that morning. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So my two calls, those of you that are weary and burdened and you're in a season that sucks, that's my word this morning, season that sucks. Things are just really not good, and you know they're not good. You don't need me to get up here and actually tell you that you're in a bad season. You know you're not in a good place. You know you're not in a place you want to be. And my call for you this morning is to actually come and give it to God. Don't run away. Don't hold it. Don't hoard it. Don't try and deal with it on your own. Don't pretend there's nothing wrong and try and walk out the door. Because this is the church. And the church shouldn't be a place where you're actually afraid to bring your stuff up here. It should be a place where it's actually encouraged, where we spur and we encourage one another. Because yes, this is a church. Four walls and a roof. But the church is something that is more than that. The church is a community of believers that gather together to encourage, to spur one another on, to worship God. The church, not just a church. I don't want to be a church. I want to be the church, the living church. And so this morning, you know that you need to come to God. You know you need to bring it and just say, God, you know what? I'm done with this struggle. I know that I may not be in a good season, or you know that this could be the morning where you actually break out of it. But you need to come and you need to say, God, I give it to you. I give you my burdens. God, give me this light yoke. Lord, I want to experience your gentle and humble heart. I want to experience something fresh. And my second call is for those that they know they need to step up the game. You know that you want to increase your capacity. You know you want to come back. You know you've got unfinished business. You know that there is a vision that you have been called to. And you want to jump up and you want to flip and take it. You know you want it. You know you've been called to it. You want a zealousness that you've not had before. This might be your second, third, fourth, fifth time that you've been hit down. But it's time to get up again. It's time for Him to just set you on fire. Let those disappointments go. Throw them aside. Today you rise. And you can stand in victory. So if you want to just bow your heads and close your eyes for a second. Lord God, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you with our issues. Lord, with our stuff. And you'll take it, Lord. And you'll pour out on us just this refreshment. Lord, this fresh touch, this fresh life, Lord God. Lord, that we would experience your gentleness. Lord, we would feel your heart. Lord, for those that are tired and weary and burdened, I just pray you would speak to them now. Lord, that you would touch them. Lord, that they would feel that they can actually come to the front and they would be able to just sit in your presence. And for those of us, Lord, Lord, we want to be reawakened. We want that zealousness to come back. That vision, we want to reignite it. We may have stepped back for a little while, stripped back and rebuilt our foundations. We know that we've grown. We know that we're bigger. And we want to deal with that unfinished business. I'm not going to ask for you guys to put your hands up. But what I'm going to ask is if you feel compelled to do either of those two things, I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you feel like you need to give it to God, then I'm going to ask you to come up on my left-hand side, and I'm going to get Helen to pray for you. And if you want fresh zealousness and fresh boldness, then I'm going to get Charlie to pray for you on my right-hand side. So as the band kind of just play what they were playing before, Greatest Love, I think it's just kind of a time for you to sit. If you need to just sit in your chair for a little while, that's cool. Otherwise, these guys can go grab coffee. But